Friends, today our Bible lesson comes from the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel in the New Testament. And I invite us to prepare our hearts and minds to hear and receive God's Word with just a few moments of silence, followed by a prayer for illumination. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Keep in us the memory of all that Jesus said and did. Inspire our meditation and let our thoughts be pleasing to you, O God, for we rejoice in you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture is Luke 10, verses 25 to 37, one of Jesus' familiar parables. Then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And the lawyer said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you've given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him. He bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Jesus asked, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to the lawyer, go and do likewise. Friends, this is God's word and it abides forever. Thanks be to God. I want us to think about how much our neighbors' lives matter and wrangle with the question, who's my neighbor? Who's your neighbor? In Luke's gospel story we've read and heard, it is the beginning of it is what's come to be known as the Great Commandment from Jesus, where he says in summary fashion, this is the greatest of all commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's no greater commandment than these. Now, this is included in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels. Jesus was building on the Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6, which was something that every good Jew would have known and sought to honor and practice in his or her life and in their household. Deuteronomy 6, beginning with the fourth verse, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be put upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gates." And Jesus adds, loving your neighbors and loving yourself, to his great commandment on how to live our lives fully and meaningfully. Sadly, the prevailing theory these days is that many people cannot love their neighbors or their enemies, or even their spouses or members of their family, as much as they love themselves, because they don't love themselves very much. Many people in our world today simply lack healthy self-esteem or healthy self-love. Many people can't love others because they've never been aware of having been loved themselves. Many people just don't like themselves or their lives very much, and therefore they seem to be unable to love those closest to them, let alone their neighbors or their enemies. But an even more serious problem in our modern world, I believe, is that fewer and fewer people love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it's almost impossible to follow the second commandment of loving your neighbor as much as you love yourself if you don't get the first one right, of loving God first and foremost. And the reverse of that is true also. I find that those persons who love God the most are the same persons who are most deeply involved in loving and serving others. They give much more of their time and talents to help others who are in need. They engage in works of justice and acts of reconciliation with those who are not like them. They give generously of their financial resources to the mission of the church. They give to other charities that truly help people who are in deep need. They genuinely love the people around them and their neighbors of the world because, first of all, they love God with their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And they've learned out of that love to love themselves. For some people, I believe that loving their neighbor as much as they love themselves is also a problem because they define neighbor so narrowly that it hardly includes anyone outside of their own family and immediate circle of friends. In the Gospels, Jesus clearly said we must love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. And he even extended neighbors to include our enemies. I want to share another insight from Scripture found in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12, where John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." He goes on to say, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us." Again, this is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. In this first letter of John, written several decades after the death of Jesus, it refers to loving one another rather than others or neighbors or enemies. It almost implies that we're called simply to love those who also love us. To the membership of a local church, which is probably to whom the letter was written, it seems to imply that we in the church family should only love others within the church family. Clearly, even in the decades shortly after Jesus had walked the earth, some persons in the local church had forgotten his commandment to love others and neighbors and enemies. In reality, however, I believe that both of these emphases are equally important and interconnected. You cannot love your neighbor unless you love God. And you cannot love your neighbors and enemies until you're able to love others in your family, your friends, the people next door, and all the neighbors around you. One commentator said of John's words about love that it can be taken to mean that the way that you love the person you love the least is the way you love God the most. Let me say that again. That the way I love the person I love the least is the way I love God the most. Now that seems so harsh, and yet John is saying, how can you love God whom you can't see if you can't or won't love those around you whom you can see? There's no question in my mind when Jesus said we are to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves, that he meant sacrificially extending our love to everyone in the world, not just to the people closest to us, or our kind or our color of people. Isaac Vallejas is a Mennonite pastor in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and in his recent article in the Christian Century entitled Becoming the Church, he says this: racism is a lie about the world that distorts the ability to recognize reality. I'll say that again. Racism is a lie about the world that distorts the ability to recognize reality. Vallejas goes on to say that every life and every death matters because every life is beloved to God. Every breath is a gift from the Spirit. Every human being is a testimony to God's love for the world. And finally, he says, the resurrected Jesus is a summons to love who God loves, to declare solidarity to our neighbors, to the sick, to the caregivers, to the workers who risk their health to sustain our lives. Friends, our neighbors are anyone who is in need anywhere in the world. This is why the story of the Good Samaritan is so striking, that the one who proves to be the neighbor is the most unlikely candidate of all. All the blood brothers of the Jewish faith pass by the injured Jewish man in his hour of need, but his supposed enemy, a Samaritan, considered a hated half-breed cousin of the Jews, he's the one who proved to be the neighbor, who went to great trouble and personal expense to help this injured Jewish man, a stranger to him, a person he did not know. Years ago, a newspaper in a large Texas city had a front page story about a terrible automobile accident that had happened just days before. A small car had been crushed in an accident with a large truck. A man and a woman were trapped inside the car. The police and rescue workers were on the scene, and they were trying everything to get the people out of the car so they could be transported to a hospital. They even had a huge crane on the scene with clamps trying to spread the crushed vehicles apart so that they could get the people out. But they weren't having much success. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a big man in workman's overalls walked up. He reached over, grabbed the top of the car and the side of the door, and he pushed upwards with his massive shoulders. He freed the people, lifted them out of the car, handed them to the stunned police and ambulance workers. And then in all the chaos that followed, the man simply disappeared from the scene. On the front page of the paper the next day was a feature story about the man, because an enterprising young reporter had tracked him down and had taken a picture to be on the front of the paper. It was a beautiful picture of this big Latino man dressed in his overalls, ready for work with his lunch pail in his hand, standing in a cluster of people with his wife and six children. And under the picture was the caption in which, as expected, the reporter had asked the obvious question. When the rescue workers and even a big crane were unable to free those people, how in the world were you able to do it? The humble man answered, "I guess you just don't know what you can do till folks are hurting." Friends, I say God is like that. God's love and God loves and God gives to people like us. And then God invites us to be neighbors to those unlikely candidates that live in our community. God looked out and saw that folks were hurting, and God came among us as Jesus of Nazareth to heal our hurts and fill us with joy and purpose, and to show us both God's love and our own potential to love and to give. And God calls us to actively love one another. And that means when folks around us are hurting, we're called to love them, to stand up for them, to feed them, to heal them, to rescue them, to work for justice alongside them, and to show them the love of Jesus Christ through the giving of ourselves sacrificially in love. Thanks be to God for love, and thanks be to God for all of our neighbors. And again I say, how good of God. Alleluia. Amen. Friends, I want us to bow for a prayer, and it's a prayer for justice and mercy that was recently written and shared by my younger brother, Bob Dendy. Let's pray. God of all creation, God of every color of the rainbow, God who hung a rainbow in the sky after terrifying floods that threatened all of life, God of every people around this whole wide world, God of every person on this earth and on the space station circling the earth, for this group gathered virtually today, most of us come with a confident understanding of you as God in three persons, as a parent, as Jesus, your Son, and as God, the Spirit that moves among us, at times as a gentle breeze and other times as a mighty wind. Most of us consider ourselves followers of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, who taught us to serve, who taught us to care for the hungry, the thirsty, the sick, the blind, the naked, the homeless, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the imprisoned of mind or body, the alien among us, those we would call immigrants. Your Son Jesus taught us by his actions to care for and to never give up on sinners. And when we are honest, we count ourselves among the sinners. Your Son Jesus used parables, poetry, and stories to teach us lessons, to teach us how to live, to be grateful, and to forgive 7 times 70, forgiving time and time again. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, your Son Jesus really struck at the heart of those of us who believe we are favored ones, the chosen ones, the generous ones, the servant leaders, the teachers, and even leaders of the church. We don't really know Samaritans in America, God, but we know your son's parables often chose a person who represented a people not seen as the people of God. They were not the favored ones, the ones destined for heaven, the ones practicing the religion handed down by the Israelites. Today, a Samaritan in America would be a stereotype of those who are different, those that we consider the other. We pause now to imagine the Samaritans that we encounter in the world around us. Who do we fear? Who do we believe is not going to join our God in the afterlife in paradise because of their differences? Our world is full of discrimination. Our country is full of discrimination. Our community is full of bigotry and discrimination. And our own lives may harbor bigotry and discrimination as well. Our concept of who is our neighbor is not the same as the concept Jesus asked us to consider much more broadly as we seek to know all our neighbors. When we hear the story of the Good Samaritan, help us imagine that we are not the Good Samaritan. We may not be those on the other side. Oh God, help us to imagine that we may actually be the band of robbers who have beaten and robbed another, or the religious folk who look away and hurry by the neighbors in need right here in our midst. Help us, Lord, imagine that we didn't care enough to see if that person robbed would live, would heal, and would be returned to community where all can share in your abundance. Be with us in this time in our world and in our worship. Guide us to say what you would have us say, to hear what you would have us hear, and most importantly, show us, God, what you would have us do when we leave this time of worship today. Show us how to be part of the transformation, reconciliation, and needed solutions rather than being part of the ongoing problems in our world today. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, again, I say thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you for supporting Celebration by your participation in these virtual times of worship, through your ongoing prayers and your financial support during these challenging times. Please share your feedback with us through Facebook or by email. Let me share a few reminders. This Tuesday evening, again, we'll gather for virtual Vespers with me at 7:30 p.m. And Thursday Eve, we'll gather with Sarah for beer and hymns at 6:30 p.m. And then you're all invited back again next Sunday at 11 a.m. for more worship on Facebook live stream. Friends, now hear this charge. Friends, we know what God desires of us, that we do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God. We've gathered today to remind each other of what is expected of God's people living and leading in the world today, and to remember that right now is the right time to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God, to stand with our black neighbors and brown neighbors and tan neighbors and every neighbor, regardless of race, creed, or color, and to live and love as our God loves and calls us to live and love, actively, vocally, financially, sacrificially, and persistently. Now receive this blessing. Go forth into the world with compassion and justice in your heart. Give voice to the silent and strength to the weak. Hear one another, see one another, care for one another, and love one another. It's all that easy, and it's all that hard. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. And all God's people say, Amen.